Welcome back to Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa. And so far today, we've talked a lot about the way speech can be muzzled. But this assumes that there's even a way for that speech to get out in the first place. And while we consistently hear from national Latino organizations about the importance of immigration reform, there's another issue simmering below the surface. Now, you may know the names Michael Brown, Eric Garner, Tamir Rice, Trayvon Martin, but you're probably way less likely to have heard about Alex Nieto, Jessica Hernandez, and Antonio Zambrano Montes. Zambrano Montes' death was captured on tape and has been garnering national attention. He had allegedly been throwing rocks at Pasco, Washington police officers before being shot to death by them.
He's an undocumented, came from Mexico, and he came here to work the apple orchards and in the Yakima Valley in the Columbia Basin and the Walla Walla area.
Rick Rios works with a local community group, Consejo Latino, and it's been drawing attention to Zambrano's case.
It is the communities themselves that have to acknowledge that a problem exists. It's the community that has to look around and say, this is not how we want to live. What are we going to do to change this?
But could change, like more police training or public understanding of migrant workers, be made if national Latino leadership groups like LULAC, MALTEF, and the National Council of La Raza were actually to speak up on these issues? Well, when we did a web search, none of those three national organizations even had press releases online about these deaths. When asked, in fact, LULAC, the League of United Latin American Citizens, said they had no statements available. In contrast, Presente.org, a relatively new voice, had this to say about the Pasco shooting. Quote, "We hope the DOJ's findings of extreme force and bias in Ferguson is the dawn of a new era in which local police departments are held responsible for their long history of terrorizing communities of color with excessive force and bias." So when there's a lack of unity to the national Latino message, is there any wonder that there's less national coverage when Latinos are killed? To help us answer this question and more, we're talking now with Julio Varela. He's the founder of LatinoRebels.com. And in addition, he is the digital media director here at the Futuro Media Group. Hey, Julio.
Hola, Maria. How are you?
Good. And Alida Garcia is a political strategist. She ran President Obama's Latino Vote program in 2012 and now volunteers with the New York Justice League. Alida, welcome to Latino USA.
Thank you for having me.
So, Alida, why is it that you had many Latinos going out in the protests for Michael Brown or Trayvon or Eric Garner, and yet you didn't see those kinds of protests being led by Latinos on these specific Latino killings?
This isn't an issue that's unique to Latinos. If you look at the Ferguson protests, if you look at the Eric Garner protests in New York, if you look at Dream Defenders in Florida, all of these protests and movements are happening locally. They're not dependent on a national civil rights organization pushing the narrative. But what you do see is solidarity and camaraderie between a lot of these groups across the country. And that's what's propelling this national movement. I think in the Latino case, you know, there are some national orgs. So, for example, Voto Latino, after Ferguson, teamed up with Global Grind to create a campaign called United We Win, which was focused on organizing young Black and Brown youth to turn out the vote because of their commonality in discrimination by police. Our national organizations, they've also been very busy focused on immigration reform, and we haven't been digging into the intersectionality as to how the immigration reform movement is also a criminal justice reform movement, how the mass incarceration of immigrants and immigrant detention, or how, you know, Texas state troopers gunning down a migrant in 2012 at the Texas border is a form of state violence. And we need to better explore those commonalities that we're seeing within the African-American protest movement across the country and join in and hold our leadership accountable. But I don't think we need to sit back and wait for national organizations to do this work for us. We need to bridge ties amongst local organizations that are rising up, like you see in Pasco and you see in Denver right now.
Right. So Gregory Chris Brown, who's a professor of criminal justice at California State University of Fullerton, says that part of the problem is that because the news media often portrays Latinos as criminals, we are, quote unquote, seen as an illegal people, then the idea is kind of like, well, if a Latino got shot by the police, well, then he must have been doing something wrong, which makes me think about the way this was covered with the African-American community 30 years ago, kind of like, well, it was their fault to begin with. But when you add the element of they're an undocumented people, they're a quote unquote an illegal people, does this add to part of the equation of why there's such a difficult time in these cases rising up, Julio?
Absolutely. Take the example of Zambrano Montes. You know, he was a Mexican national, a migrant worker. He had mental health issues. I don't think a lot of people in the United States know that Pasco, I believe, is one of the fastest growing agricultural regions in the United States. So you've seen a very strong rise in the migrant community in that area. And, you know, the changing demographics of that area lead to, I wouldn't say tension, but there has not been comfort. And I do think it lead, you know, part of that has to do with the misperceptions of what you said. If you are Latino in the United States, you must be, quote unquote, illegal, undocumented. The fact that this is still this notion of victim blaming, no one's connecting the dots, at least on a national level, that we can have all the movements we want. I don't understand why these national civil rights organizations will not say something or will not be in front of a camera. And instead, that focus on immigration, I think it's the elephant in the room. You know, we're putting so much focus on that we've kind of lost sort of the anchor in a lot of other issues in this country.
And so a difficult question, and this from an anchor who has covered this issue and cares deeply about it as an immigrant myself, but has the immigration issue essentially sucked all of the air out of the room when it comes to other problems that our community is facing?
Yes, that's the short answer. Sí, definitivamente. And it doesn't mean that we should belittle the efforts of people, but there is that sense of we've been focusing on one issue so much that we've stopped a little bit to make connections with that issue. So in the case of Antonio Zambrano Montes, or in the case of Ruben Garcia, both migrant workers, you know, when you talk about violence against migrants, it's important that that issue kind of gets lost in the national immigration reform debate. We hear DHS shutdowns. We hear partisanship. We hear, you know, we got to pass this. But we haven't done that good of a job as a community to connect the dots.
All I need to say is it was the very first story that I ever reported for NPR in 1985 was about immigration reform. And here we are, and it's still unresolved. I wonder, Alida, you brought up intersectionality. Is there an element where among Latinos, we've got to deal with our own intersectionality and say, yes, there are immigrant issues, immigrant rights issues, but we've got issues around racism. We've got issues around police violence. We've got issues around poverty. Is that we as a community needs to do more intersectionality amongst ourselves? Or is this what we typically do, which is, it's my fault. I'm doing something wrong. The Latino community is doing something. We just tend to blame ourselves.
I think that there is a lot of growth, and I work on immigration reform. I've been doing it every day, 80 hours a week for the last years. And we're close. I believe we're going to pass a comprehensive immigration reform bill within the next, let's say, 3 years. But I don't want to lose sight at what this movement has done for our community. The fact that we have undocumented people who will fearlessly talk to the President of the United States about their status and their parents' status means that over the course of these years, we have begun to own our power in ways that we haven't previously. Fearlessness is going to pay it forward in every issue that we have moving forward. And I think that you see that in our young people. And now with DAPA, you're going to see that with parents because they're going to start to come out of the shadows. I just think we need to encourage proactive conversations and not get beat up in sort of how long it's taken to get immigration reform. It's only been 4 years since Democrats had control over everything and couldn't pass the DREAM Act. And we need to just better equip that power that has emerged with the tools necessary to advocate on all issues that are happening in Latino communities across the United States. On the 6-month anniversary of Michael Brown's killing, I help out with digital media for Justice League, and a woman named Nanette Gutierrez commented, "Today is also the 2-month anniversary of an officer killing my son, Delbert Rodriguez. May they both rest in peace." And I was touched because this mother had nowhere to turn to for people to remember that it was the anniversary of her son's killing. It was also a mother recognizing the commonality between the African-American and Latino communities. And I think that that's where we need to head. We need to work together. But I'm ready to do the work. And I think we're headed in that direction. And I'm really excited by all the young people who seem to be headed in that direction as well.
Alida Garcia is a political strategist. She joined us from WAMU in Washington, D.C. And Julio Varela is the digital media director of Futuro Media Group, which produces Latino USA. He's also the founder of LatinoRebels.com. He joined us from WGBH in Boston. Thanks again to both of you.
Thank you.
Gracias, Maria.